It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord together, and wonderful to worship. Such a tremendous, tremendous blessing to worship the Lord with each other, to feel the presence of God in our midst. It's wonderful. Never gets old. Always new. God always does new things. Amen. So January 20th, 2019, here we are. If you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to talk this morning. We're in the second part of a series on the Holy Spirit. We're talking this morning about the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. And, you know, I became aware as I was studying this week that without the Holy Spirit, Jesus could have never done what he did. And we give a lot of credit, as well we should, about the Son of God coming. But he realized that he couldn't get the work done until he was endued with the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit on his life. Without that, he would have never been able to accomplish what he accomplished, because he became fully human when he came. And so this morning we want to talk about Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. Father, we pray this morning that you would give us revelation on this, O God, that we would realize, oh, Holy Spirit, we need to realize your lordship in our lives. You're not just somebody that comes and makes us feel better and give us goosebumps. And Lord, we sing about you and Lord, the gifts and the fruits and all of that. Father, you're Lord, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're Lord in our lives. And we thank you, God. What an example Jesus was to us. Help us as we unlace this morning, as we peer into the history of you moving in our Lord and you moving on this earth, God. Father, we thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, in our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you lead, guide, direct us. You open the scriptures to us. You talk to us of Christ, and you empower us in this day, God. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So prophecy concerning the ministry of Christ, there's lots of it in the scriptures. I encourage you to do some study on your own. But I want to look at Isaiah chapter 11 this morning. Isaiah 11, 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus came from the line of David, from the stump of Jesse, but he had an abundant endowment of the Holy Spirit, and was prophesied by Isaiah that this would happen. The Spirit was upon him in full measure. When the Holy Spirit came upon Christ, he had full measure of the Spirit. All seven identities of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. How many know when Jesus spoke, he spoke as God? And I want us to draw some parallels this morning, because as we speak as God when empowered by the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Look at me like that. A lot of people say, well, I've lost track of God. Well, God never lost track of you. He lives inside of you by the power of his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Spirit of wisdom is within us. Sometimes we get a little deaf, we can't hear, and there's scripture says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever had to ask for counsel from someone? And when they say what you're already hearing in your spirit, because God is faithful, it may be covered up by our worries and our concerns, but as soon as somebody speaks something that we know is God, it's already resonating in our spirit. Spirit of wisdom. The spirit of understanding. We need to have an understanding of the day. Jesus totally understood what was going on. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of counsel. The greatest counselor in the world, in the universe, in all of existence, is the Holy Spirit. Scripture says the way of the Lord is peace and pleasantness. That's brought to you by the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of counsel. And he's a spirit of might. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But my weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, that I know, not only know, but I'll prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. Come on, somebody. Holy Spirit rested upon him. The Spirit, the fear of the Lord. Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the prophets of old said that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come, and he would have the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of God. And he would have ideal qualities. He'd be intellectual. He'd be practical and religious and have rule and judgment on the earth. Isaiah 42, Isaiah chapter 42, if you'll flip over there. Again, Isaiah prophesies, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law." And so prophecy said that Jesus would be first filled with the Spirit. First he would be filled with the Spirit. Then, that's the first thing that's said, and then used by God to bring redemption to mankind. He was upheld and delighted by the Father, the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit was given to Christ by the Father, and the Holy Spirit would not draw attention to himself, but he would speak of Jesus Christ. What a powerful, powerful reminder to you and I that we can't do anything without the power of the Spirit. Can't do anything without the power of the Spirit. Say, when do you need the Holy Spirit? Every second. Every second of every day. Holy Spirit is the way that God deals with His church, the way that God deals with His people is through the power of His Spirit. So very important the Holy Spirit was that Jesus came, was filled with the Holy Spirit before anything else happened. Watch over in Mark chapter 1. If you'll turn to Mark 1, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of His ministry was marked with the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 1, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, about a two-day trip He made by foot, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." All four Gospels, by the way, record this event. Why? Because of the importance of being baptized in the Holy Ghost before he took a step. One of the scriptures say, when Jesus was in the water with John, John said, "You should be baptizing in me." He said, "Baptize me because it will fulfill all righteousness." Now, it wasn't because he was sinful that he needed baptized. How many of you know the announcement, the heavens opened up, the Father spoke, and the Holy Spirit came upon him? Another part of Scripture says he came upon him in fullness and remained upon him. Holy Spirit came upon Christ for his ministry, not just for the baptism. It wasn't just a show of power. He came upon him in ministry. And he became the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. There was a permanent endowment. John chapter 1, verse 32, John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." Before, Holy Spirit came, and there was limits to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came upon the guy, I can't remember his name, that built the tabernacle. Holy Spirit came upon the prophets, but he came only at certain times and left. Now the Holy Spirit came and he has never left the earth. Come on, somebody. And he remained upon Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 34, "For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives a spirit," capital S, "without measure." And so the powerful Holy Spirit came upon Christ, and he was used greatly two ways upon Jesus. Number one, his birth. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, or came upon Mary, and empowered her to have Jesus. Come on, somebody. Angel of the Lord said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be with child. And you'll name his name Jesus. The second thing the Holy Spirit was used for, of course, was the life and the ministry of Christ. He became the Spirit-anointed Son. He was always the Son of God, became the Spirit-anointed Son at the baptism. And he called him his Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was set aside for ministry apart from the baptism. The water baptism was important only in the case that it was an announcement that the Trinity was at work in the earth. The Holy Spirit was introduced in a way. And then immediately after being baptized, what happened with Jesus? He went out 40 days into the desert to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and be tempted by the devil. Scripture says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. So the Holy Spirit led him to a place where he had a confrontation with the devil. You know, we teach wrong things in the church. We teach that the devil has no, he's not going to attack us if we're a Christian. Because we're Christians, he attacks. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. Scripture says again and again and again, think it not strange that you fall into fiery trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Come on, somebody. Jesus set the precedent. He was the first one to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that happened was he had an encounter with the devil. We think, well, you know, now that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we don't have an encounter with the devil. Yes, we do have an encounter with the devil. He does his job, and so we should do ours. Jesus confronted the devil, you know the story, and he won because he stood on the Word of God. But without the encounter at the water, he would have lost in the wilderness. Listen to what I'm saying. Without the encounter at the water, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he would have lost in the wilderness. Spirit of the Lord led him. Scripture says the Spirit and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. See, in an encounter with the Spirit of God. He was victorious. Luke chapter 4 verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You'll notice it didn't say he left forever. Devil attacked on the cross and you remember in the garden. And then the very next thing that Jesus did in his ministry was he went to his hometown of Nazareth and stood up and read Isaiah. Luke chapter 4 verse 18, if you're there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Very first thing he says publicly. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Verse 21 says, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What was the announcement he made? The announcement he made was, the Holy Spirit is upon me. How much we need the Holy Ghost. How much we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's not just something, he's not an add-on. He's not an it. He's not a power. He's not the guy that brings goosebumps. He's the Lord. And he guides us and leads us by his Spirit. Very first thing Jesus did publicly, we talk about the wedding supper of Canaan, the Canaan wedding. And how he turned water into wine. But the very first miracle he talked about was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that he was the one who was filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am the one that Isaiah was talking about. Jesus was full of the Spirit. He said things like, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. He spent time in prayer, not just for something to do. It was communication to God by the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Nothing could have got done unless that happened. He was empowered by the Spirit. Scripture says in other places about his empowerment, and he was anointed by the Spirit. In his earthly ministry, everything was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. How did he teach? He taught under the unction of Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. He is so faithful. And Jesus set the pace. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus is speaking. He said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The importance cannot be lessened at all of what Jesus said. It was his own ministry that proved it. He was led by the Spirit of God. Jesus spoke by the power of the Spirit. He was fully human and fully God by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Ghost. When I was saved back in 1981, I was saved on Easter Sunday morning, and I couldn't wait. 3 days later, someone told me about the baptism in the Spirit. And I've told the story before, but my wife had just gone into labor with our daughter. And so she was concerned, as women are, about to have a baby. And I asked her how far the contractions were apart. She said about 8 to 10 minutes. I said, "You're fine. I'm going to go get baptized in the Holy Spirit." True story. It was a 10-mile drive from where I lived into the elder's house that I went to. And so I just wanted all of God. I was so hungry. And there were no cell phones at the time, but I gave her the number where I'd be. And got there, and he read about 5 scriptures from the book of Acts. And his name was Bob Schickler. And Bob ministered to me, and then he said, "Let's pray." And Bob had no TV in his house and wouldn't allow TV in his house. And he had 2 little girls and a boy, and his wife, and they were all in bed. It was about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And when I asked the Holy Spirit to be baptized, I screamed in tongues for an hour. I was like Pentecostal on steroids. And it was such a cleansing, I'll never forget it. It was the second most important thing that ever happened to me. First off, being saved, and the Holy Spirit just cleansed me. And everybody in the house woke up. Girls were crying, and they came down, "What's going on? Somebody hurt my daddy." Came down, I'm praying in tongues. Pretty soon, all of us are praying in tongues. And I did make it back to the house in time to get to the hospital and have our little girl. Even Christ needed the power of the Spirit. The very first thing he did before he stepped out in ministry was have an encounter with Holy Spirit, and 40 days with Holy Spirit to know what his next step would be. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed to do that, how important is the Holy Spirit in our lives? He said in Matthew 12:28, he said, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." The power of the Spirit is over demonic spirits, over demonic influence. It's the power of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Jesus did nothing before the baptism and failed at nothing after it. He did nothing before the baptism and he failed at nothing after the baptism. You want to talk about, now I'm going to shine a light on next week. We're going to talk about next week the guys that Jesus chose to carry on the gospel, the 11 that were left, the one that had hung himself. 11 guys, and then Matthias came. It was 12 during the day of Pentecost. But at the day of Pentecost, changed forever everybody that was there. They went from not wanting to talk about Jesus, hiding in an upper room. You couldn't shut them up. Jesus went from being quiet, being raised by Mary, being stayed in his hometown, and when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and he went away for 40 days, when he came back, he was everywhere. And everywhere he was the power of the Spirit. He set the precedent. How very important that we yield to the power of the Spirit in our lives. It was by the Holy Spirit that he performed signs and wonders. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Matthew 12:28, but if it is by the Spirit of God I cast out demons. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What's that scripture say? It says he was anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With who? He anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And he himself said, I can't do anything unless the Father tells me. But when he does tell me, I can't do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that, but it was very obvious. It was by the Spirit's power that he cast out demons. It was by the power of the Spirit that he proclaimed the gospel. It was by the power of the Spirit he was directed, not by his own agenda, but by the Father's. He heard the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians today relegate the Holy Spirit to saying, well, he helps us when we read Scripture. How very limited must that be? I can't breathe without the Holy Spirit. I thank the Holy Spirit every minute of every day. I try to pray in the Spirit as much as I can. I want to stay connected and filled with the power of the Spirit because that's God's design. We've relegated the Holy Spirit to an act, to a sideshow. That's not who He is. Holy Spirit is God. He's Lord, and He should be honored and worshiped as God and Lord. John chapter 5, turn there. John 5:19. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. How does He do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And greater works than these will He show Him, so that you may marvel. I can do nothing, verse 30, on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. How did He do that? By the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in His life. The Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. John chapter 8. Turn over just a couple of verses. John chapter 8, verse 26. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but He who sent me is true, and I declare to the world that I have heard from Him. They did not understand in verse 27 that He had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from the Father, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. So He said, I obey the Father, and the very first thing, and the thing that marked His ministry, was His obedience to the Father through the power of the Spirit of God. He was not driven by His own power. He was not driven by, He had no sense of greatness in Himself without the Father. He gave glory to the Father, and He was moved by the Spirit of God. Jesus was sent to earth by the Father with a mission to fulfill, and He did that under the power of the Holy Ghost. God gave Him the Spirit to empower Him to fulfill the mission. A lot of times we want to wait. I love what James does. When James ministers salvation to somebody, the very next thing he talks about is being baptized in the Holy Ghost. By the way, you're going to need this. By the way, you're going to need baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we relegate that to someplace else. You know, we've become the exception and not the rule. But that was never God's intention. God's intention was that every Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've said it often, but the first 100 years of the church, actually, the first 200 years of the church, there was not denominations. Everybody was Pentecostal. Ministered the baptism in the Spirit right after salvation. Come on, somebody. But we become the odd ones. See? And that's not putting anybody else down, because they've relegated the Holy Spirit to a time. Lots of churches don't celebrate the Holy Spirit until the day of, you know, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, tabernacle. How many know the Holy Spirit's God and how He deals with us? God deals with us through the power of His Spirit in the name of Jesus. Why would the Son of God need the power of the Holy Spirit? It was not the divinity of Jesus, but His humanity that was being anointed. And that needed the power of the Holy Spirit. When He came, He set the example. Again, in Acts 10:38, Peter says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him." That would have never happened had He not been empowered by the Spirit of God. And I don't know how we live without Him. I don't know how people live without Him. I don't know how you just give Him a head nod. It's by the power of the Spirit. When it says God anointed Him, it literally means God made Him Messiah through the power of the Spirit. The Greek word for anoint is kyro, which is where Christos comes from, meaning one who has been anointed or the anointed one. God recognized Him as the anointed one after the empowerment by the Spirit of God. Christos is the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah, but both words meaning that mean the anointed one. This is the same thing that is happening in Luke 4:18. Again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. How did He anoint him? He anointed him by the power of Holy Spirit. He was sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your Spirit. And I think a lot more would happen in the body of Christ if we would yield to the power of His Holy Spirit. As we said at the moment of His baptism, in one sense, Jesus became the anointed one, the Messiah. Now He is referred to as the Christ before this, but even those designations at the time seemed to be pointing primarily ahead to the point where He would be anointed by the Holy Spirit at the Jordan. What an event that announced His coming out. This may sound strange to our ears. It would seem that Messiahship is a function or office that Jesus assumed at His baptism. He was always Jesus, but He assumed the role of anointed Son at that point. He was the one promised of old who would receive the Holy Spirit in a peculiar way. He was the first to receive the Holy Spirit in such a way. You know, centuries of human history has proven that man on his own strength could not be what he was called to be. It's been proven. So many times we serve a religion that's been fabricated to be nothing more than behavior modification. Now that you prayed this prayer, now you got to act different. And I worry about that. I'm concerned about that as I pray for people. When I see somebody that says they're a Christian but can't have any victory in their life, over and over and over again falling, over and over and over again failing. And I ask, have you really had an encounter with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? Because if He is, He's given you the power of the Spirit. And you're able to walk by the power of His Spirit. And I get concerned about churches that preach and religion that preaches, oh, you just got to act different. All the acting in the world is not going to give us the power. Come on, someone. The change has to come from the inside out. And at salvation, God is not remiss in taking us through all the steps. When we're really saved, He's not remiss in taking us through the salvation and the endowment with His Spirit on high. I believe that's for every human being that gets saved. The baptism in the Holy Ghost. The biggest lie that was perpetrated on the church is that the Holy Spirit only gives us guidance in Scripture. How weak we've made the third part of the Trinity. Jesus recognized this and gave front and center to the power of the Holy Spirit. His whole ministry would be marked by the power of the Spirit. And down through the ages, we're going to talk next week a little bit more, but down through church history, those that were moved by the power of the Spirit did tremendous things. I remember reading a testimony of Charles Wesley getting on a train, sitting in a train car, minding his own business. Had just spent days of fasting and prayer, but he didn't really make any, he didn't go witnessing to everybody on the train car. He just wanted to be left alone and sat there in the car, so full of the Holy Spirit that everybody in the train car fell on the floor and began to repent. Every one of them. Not one person wasn't saved on that train car. And the power of Holy Spirit. But see, those things have become the exception and not the rule. How many know God's intent was that was the rule? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, Scripture says, is liberty. And we allow God in His wisdom baptized us, filled us with the Holy Spirit, but allows us to control the knob. We either allow the Holy Spirit to be all He can be or be as little as He can be. And we don't do damage to ourselves as much as we damage the world with the drips of the Holy Spirit instead of the flood. Yeah. Jesus said this. He said, if you come to me, rivers of living water, and I encourage you to study that whole passage. He's not talking about our wise words or our scriptures that we memorize. He's talking about Holy Spirit flowing out of us with all the gifts and all the fruits and all the things the Holy Spirit does. And you know when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. Every one of us, I hope, have experienced that when you walk into a place or you're with somebody and all of a sudden you know exactly what to say to them or exactly how to minister to them or exactly how to pray for them. That's Holy Spirit, my friend. Or when you're about to do something, you hear this little still small voice inside of you going, don't do that. Come on, somebody. Don't do that. You're going to be sorry. What is that? It's Holy Spirit. And so God, I believe more than anything else, because He says in the last days, and we'll talk about this again, we'll talk about it next week. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Capital S. I'll pour out my Spirit like He did at the River Jordan. He poured out His Spirit upon His Son, who became now the anointed Messiah. And I believe in this end times that He's going to pour out His Spirit in such a way that we'll be Spirit-led individuals. Paul said it over and over again in his writing. He said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And too many times we walk in the flesh and we fulfill its lusts. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, but He's faithful. Scripture says God is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He is dealing with us by the power of His Spirit. Just as He did the firstborn son, our elder brother, the one that set the example and the pace as He walked this earth. For 3.5 years He walked this earth under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why before then He couldn't have started His ministry. You know, some of our Catholic friends teach that Christ was, you know, doing all kinds of signs and wonders as He was growing up. It's ridiculous. He wasn't. He was raised as a full human being. But when He went to the River Jordan, was baptized, Holy Spirit came upon Him and filled Him. And that's what He came out. And when He came back, what did He say? He said, the kingdom of God is here by the power of His Spirit. The Holy Spirit holds such a place in church history and holds such a place. And the power of the Holy Spirit will always be here until that day. Some say Holy Spirit will be taken off the earth. Holy Spirit will be taken off the earth, and that's where all the wickedness will come in. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says the Spirit will be off the earth. Removed and off the earth are two different things. Holy Spirit will always be here. Holy Spirit will always be here. When the heavens were cracked and the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ, He has never left. He's just distributing Himself among every believer. And we have that choice to make Him Lord of our lives. Father, I thank You for the example that Jesus Christ is. I thank You that when we look at His earthly ministry, how He moved by the power of Your Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, we thank You for dwelling in us. God, if we've done anything to lessen Your power in our lives, please forgive us. Lord, if we've done anything to hold you back, please forgive us. Lord, take your rightful place as the Lord of our lives through the power of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak through us. Guide us, lead us. Use us in this hour, God. To the extent, God, that we've made any kind of entrapment for you to not be used, oh God, please open the floodgates. God, if we've resisted you in any way, please forgive us. We thank you for the example of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you bring us up to that level, being used by Holy Spirit as Christ was. Jesus, when you were on this earth, you uttered those words, "Greater works than these shall you do." God, we wait for that greater time. We wait for that greater thing, oh God. Lord, some of us have yet to know the power that you want us to move in. And I prophesy right now, there's a couple of people here that will be used mightily this week by the power of Holy Spirit, like you never have before. God wants to show himself to you in that way, by Holy Spirit. Never forget, he's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for leading and guiding us. Keep everyone safe. Those who couldn't be with us this morning, we ask blessings upon them. Pour your Spirit upon them as well. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the power. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.